All right, this morning we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study through the New Testament, comprised of two parables, separated by an interlude that we covered last week. First parable, as you might know, when his master confronted him and asked for an accounting, the steward gave big discounts when he needed their help. Oddly, the master was, men is an abomination in the sight of God. To live in his will. He's given each of us a measure of faith and a sense of justice. For he who is faithful in what is least is faithful in much. And in God's economy, the true value of work to us is that God is watching us. Place in our that God knows your hearts. Indeed, we're called to be good stewards, not engaged in waste or self to serve God to repay us. You see, we're citizens of the grace through faith and to become the people that God created us to be. The day of the Lord, but in the meantime, he wants us to be moving closer to that goal. We're transformed, and he wants that to spill out into the world around us. Into people everywhere might come to saving faith and learn to chapter 16, verses 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and featured some wealth in this parable by the clothing that he wears and the food that he eats. It could only be was clothed in purple and fine linen was necessarily a person of means are today. Of course, we're also told that this certain rich man fared sumptuously each day, that is to say, but the wealthy distinguish themselves by the food that they eat. They often own nothing more than the rags that they wear. The poor survive on nothing. Is that a rich man may own 100 suits, may have the best food, and as Jesus rather starkly reminded us back in Matthew 15, so it is. That the clothes that we wear, that wear out, and the food that we eat, that pass through. Wealthy people who disregard the poor. Although they have more than cling tightly to all they have and refuse to share any with those who are suffering. Living for himself, catering to bodily pleasures and appetites. For his fellow man. Verses 20 and 21. But there was with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked. Not provide for themselves or get around on their own, their friends would sometimes carry them to be laid at the gate from the rich man's table in the hopes that he might be fed with the crumbs which fell. Lazarus, which is important for a couple of reasons. First, Lazarus and Abraham, who's the sons of our Lord. It's also important, since the name Lazarus is a shortened version of that this certain beggar, but to suggest that this story describes actual events, most Jews hearing, and the beggar was being cursed for his sins. It means God help. Jesus is challenging those assumptions. Not food that fell after having been used to wipe off hands and the table. This is described as full of sowers makes most of us respond initially, at least, with feelings of see that kind of suffering. We should move deliberately from disgust to pity to action. The Christian response is not to turn away in horror, kindness, because that's what Jesus did for us. Unclean. The fact that dogs came and licked his sores would compound the uncleanness, and as a result, the streets, dogs not cared for, became scavengers. They also have passed on all manner of disease and infection to poor Lazarus as they licked his sores. So I think we're compelled to ask, were the Pharisees right? Was all this suffering a response? As one writer suggested, it's something of a mystery. This may not be something we want to take too literally, but if Lazarus was close enough to feed on the crumbs, perhaps he felt that providing a place and a few scraps was ministry enough. He gave the matter no thought at all, since his thoughts were only for himself. That the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, The rich man also died and was buried and died. Lazarus, probably from malnutrition or sepsis or something. But what we see here is the reversal of fortunes that a soul may experience. The fact that Lazarus died and was carried by the angel, the talk of Abraham's bosom is to convey the idea of heaven. God's promise to Abraham, of course, and thus to the Jewish mind, intimate fellowship with Abraham. After notice in this rather abrupt contrast, Jesus describes the rich man also died and was buried. The rich man. Jewish custom would have required at least a simple burial, even most certainly had a lavish funeral. But the body that he had clothed said, death is the great equalizer. Accumulated in this life will buy immortality for a human body. And the only currency paid for us by Jesus on the cross. About the religious or moral condition of either man. This who inferred that Lazarus believed by faith in the promise of God based on his favored position. After the rich man was without saving faith based on his selfish lifestyle and his poor stewardship. 23. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up. So we're told the rich man is now pictured experiencing a great deal to our common perceptions of heaven and hell, although the conclusions may not be as plain and simple. Torment afar off from the bosom of Abraham. And one of those torments seems to see Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I mean, it just seems to live. Verse 24. That he dipped the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. Between Abraham and the rich man is essential to bringing out the moral message of the story. But we have communicate with souls in hell. After all, if we could look down from heaven, it wouldn't be much of a paradise, would it? And remorse and lost opportunity in the hopes of convicting the living. The rich man cries for mercy, although so much to relieve. But apparently he was neither wise nor generous. Instead, he doubted himself. Father Abraham, something that suggests he may have believed his hope was grounded in Hades, this rich man was still so arrogant and presumptuous. He asks to have Lazarus just dip the tip of his. Talk about reversal. He's gone from purple robes and fine linen to being tormented. Suffering is thus detailed in ways that are uncomfortable. Yet at the same time, coil at this description and deny that hell is a real place. I will acknowledge that this is not an exhaustive teaching on end times or the nature of only as allegory or to dismiss the hard parts as mere metaphor. Yes, Jesus, the picture he paints is real. Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus tormented. Abraham clearly explains the reversal. He calls him son, but it cannot alter the facts. He received many good things in his lifetime, exactly the way this rich man treated his wealth in his lifetime, as though it was his. He suffered his share of evil things in life, but now he is comforted. Once again, Jesus hasn't revealed anything directly about the basis. The parable does not condemn the wealthy any more than it guarantees consolation for the poor and suffered his afflictions. We don't know if the rich man, poor Lazarus, suffered his afflictions, only that he did, of Scripture, filled in that we are saved by grace through faith in the promise of God. It's not the focus of this parable. Instead, I think Jesus is pushing back against this whole idea that people, I think he wants us to understand that just because you're rich doesn't mean that God is punishing you. Now, most people back then would have returns all of that on its head. Still, I think it's safe to say that the question does not look not annihilation. That death for the unbelievingness, it is a conscious state of acute awareness opportunity. Verse 26, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from this to come to the place of torments and relieve his thirst. Souls in eternity is fixed and cannot be changed. To repent after death. But the Bible offers no such comfort after death and be heard. But Abraham's response is plain. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 says, God desires all to be saved and to come to knowledge. But the choice to receive it is left up to the individual, and the choice must be made and to die once. This explains our missionary zeal. It explains and the gospel. There are people out, some without having ever even heard the name of Jesus. Unless some, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus calls on all of us to go, therefore, serve all the things that if we fail or refuse, then who will go? 98% of the Iringa people duty to go to Uganda and tell them. We could certainly wait. We could ignore the fact that people from here have connections with create this opportunity. But if we turn our backs on lost people, we have to justify that choice before Him in eternity. But in this lifetime, we can still pass from here to there. I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five of this place of torment. My own fate is sealed. So his thoughts turned to his loved ones, changed. He on Lazarus as his servant, and it's a harsh I ever imagined that his brothers. But the theme of this story is Lazarus and his and this plea to send Lazarus to his father's deprived of essential knowledge during his lifetime. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, by not the first souls who will find themselves in eternal torment saying, nobody. And he has commissioned his people, you and I, to go out and living in dark. Verse 29, prophets, let them hear them. Prophets alludes to Old Testament scripture. Of course, like this rich man had knew all about God's call on their life, but alas, many ignored it. They were well aware of God's call. They were taught about God's concern for the poor and oppressed, but disposal all that a person requires to recognize their own sin, admit their need for a Savior. According to Abraham, Moses and the prophets are the only witnesses that his... Of course, not everyone in every place has had their own language. Romans 10, verse 14, explains the dilemma of people call on him in whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom... Unless somebody goes and tells them. His brothers know all they need to know. But as we've discussed, verse 30. And he said, no. Wow, this man boldly contradicts Father Abraham in his desperate to save his brothers. The presumption is, of course, that these brothers were probably living as he had lived, concerned only with not with their own eternity. Yet he does seem certain that... But honestly, the testimony of the dead had raised up the dead son of the widow from Nain back in chapter 7, verses 11 through verses 40. Likewise, he had raised up the dead daughter of Jairus in chapter Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. sins on a cross of shame, and 3 days later, he would rise from the grave in dramatic fulfillment of it. Once, many of whom remained alive during those days to testify to others about what they had Moses and the prophets. And now we have the New Testament as well, who reveals the inescapable torments that await unbelievers in eternity. Many dismiss Scripture as a collection of legends and fables, and they go for the gusto, living in the flesh, only for themselves. Others, in their pride, like many of us, this rich man believed that they'd repent and believe if only the message was a little more compelling. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. The law and the prophets offer sufficient insight for the rich man's bereaved in the person of Jesus Christ. The point is, they are suffering from what we have called cognitive dissonance, the reality of Scripture king. As the wise king said in Ecclesiastes, the prophet said in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith, but their flesh wants to live in the moment. And thought only of his own brothers when it came to eternal destruction. Hunger and affliction never made him the object of concern in his lifetime. History. And like the rich man, what we do with our wealth relieves others and to relieve their suffering. By doing so, we are laying up treasures in heaven. Fatal distraction. If wealth is used only to bless us or people close to us, money is a resource to be used, not a reward, not our master. It should be used to bless others, not just Jesus should transform every part of our lives. We should come to value people more than that. We will reach out to them wherever they are and share not only our material wealth as someone shared with us. This prescriptive and unapologetically direct. It's hard to read. The unquenchable thirst and the flames of judgment are hard to leave out the painful reality of judgment, because the very idea. Sadly, the prospect of eternal conscious torment has caused many to question the love, wander away from the faith. But there's another way to look at that. The reality of hell, so that we can understand the consequences of our choices while they're saved by grace through faith. And this not of ourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone, regardless of wealth or status. But just as it is with our wealth, keep it to ourselves. We must share it with them. So it is purpose, driven by a great need, and sustained a vital expression of our gratitude. Let's pray. For the believer and for this message of warning and caution for the lost. The choice to believe in Jesus, material needeth it all in this lifetime. Help us stewards of all that your lives would yield something of eternal value, something that you can use. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.